Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today, you will hear a sermon from Pastor Jeff Abiera. So without further ado, here he is.
Today, let's say it with passion and conviction, these words of truth. Please repeat after me and say, I am a child of God. I am loved by God. And I am the light of the world. Amen. Y'all did good. Turn to your neighbor and say, y'all did good. I want to start off today by sharing a story. A couple months ago, I hopped in the car. I began driving. Actually, before I drove, I got in the car right before sunset. All right. And I turned on the heat. I put on my seatbelt. I picked my podcast, put the phone on the dash, and I started driving and not thinking much about it. Now, after about 20 minutes into my drive, I'm listening to my podcast, I'm learning, and then out of nowhere, I get interrupted by an oncoming car flickering their lights at me. Side note, if you don't drive yet, let me teach you some things about the road, all right? If somebody's flickering your lights, there's a couple reasons why they might be flickering their lights at you, okay? One reason is they might be like, watch out, there's something ahead of you. Or another reason would be like, watch out, there's cops waiting for you with radars. Or maybe it's their man, they're like, watch out, I'm coming for you, right? And then lastly, the reason why they may flicker their lights at you is because maybe you're driving at night and your lights are not on. Back to the story, as I ran through this list, I realized the oncoming driver was trying to tell me that, hey, it's dark now. Turn your lights on. He was signaling me to do something that I didn't realize what was happening. I share that today because many Christ followers, we have the power, we have the access, we have the tools, we have the availability and connection to Jesus Christ, but yet we are driving around with our lights off. The title of my message today is Lights On. Everybody say lights on. Lights on. You may not be aware that your lights are off today. So let's check. Let's look at the Word of God and see if the Word of God is flickering at us now to turn our lights back on again. We're going to be back looking at the Sermon on the Mount. And I know I preach about the Sermon of the Mount a lot. And I say the affirmations every single time, especially in youth group. And even last month, I talked about the Sermon on the Mount and fasting. But we're going to be back in here, except we're going to be in Matthew chapter 5 now. And the last phrase that I always say is, I am the light of the world, right? So Jesus here is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and he's sharing about us being the light of the world. But there's a lot of implications here that he's trying to teach that is hidden within the sentences. So let's look at Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, and I'm going to read from the NLT version. And starting with verse 14, it says this. It says, you are the light of the world. Again, Jesus speaking here. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Verse 16, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. Amen. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your grace. God, thank you for the gift of your word, that it has the power to transform our minds to be more like you. God, grant us your loving presence with these words of truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Everybody say, lights on again. Lights on. I've been doing those affirmations before every time I share the word of God, probably for about 10 years now. And sometimes people actually question it. They question that it sounds a little bit me-centered, right? Maybe you've thought that. And in response, I usually just say this. I usually just simply say, hey, that's what Jesus said. And I simply point them to the scripture that we just read. It says that Jesus looked into the people that were following him, and he said, you are the light of the world. But here's the thing. At the same time, during another instance, where he's speaking to a different group of people. He's speaking to the Pharisees. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says this. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. So which one is it? Is it I am the light of the world? Or is it Jesus is the light of the world? What are we saying? Are we saying that it's about us? No, we are simply saying we are reflecting God. As image bearers of God, we are simply just a reflection. God is the light that shines in the darkness. First Peter says that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. You cannot be this light if you are not a child of God. You cannot be this light if you have not allowed the love of God to enter into your life. I homeschool my daughter, and I was teaching her this past week about the moon. And when she thought of the moon, she thought that, you know, it was just like the sun, just not as bright. She was like, Daddy, what you mean it doesn't shine by itself? She was like, it's like lights, it glows. And many of us know this. For a long, long time, people believed that there was two sources of light that shined on our planet. There was the daytime light called the sun, and there was the night light called the moon. But as we advanced in our knowledge, what did we learn about the moon? We learned that the moon is simply just a reflection of the sun. Guys, in Christ, we have the light within us. If this is the case, though, why do we see so much destruction, war, poverty, broken relationships, broken families, when there are so many that claim to be Christians and followers of Christ? In verse 15, Jesus says, no one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. I was listening to a message by a guy named Pastor Tony Clark, and he was sharing about how the sun and the moon reflected each other. But then he went a little bit further. And he was saying this. He was saying the only time the moon is not reflecting the sun is when it is eclipsed. You can put up that next picture. So in other words, when the world is in the way of the sun, the moon is not able to reflect the sun because the world is in the way. He goes on to say that some have allowed the world to get in between us and Jesus. Maybe that's why you have not been shining lately. Some of us in this room have not been allowing our light to shine because we are too close to the things of this world. The worldly things in our lives are literally blocking the love of Christ for us to reflect back into the people around us. So when Jesus talks about putting a light under a basket, he's saying that the light you have is being covered. It's not being used to its full potential. Guys, we don't shine as bright in our lives when we are underneath the things of this world or the things that act like the world. For example, we will not shine bright into our communities if we're always walking around angry. We will not shine bright into our families if we're holding on to unforgiveness. We will not shine bright if we have unconfessed sins in our life that we don't share, that we're struggling with it. We don't shine when we're constantly worrying. We don't shine bright when we are walking around with pride. We don't shine bright when we are selfish. There are so many things that might be blocking our light today. And my encouragement to you today is to take that world out of the way. Confess it, repent, and allow the light of Christ to shine once again. I have a challenge for you this week. I want you to set aside some time, everybody. And there's a scripture in Psalm 139, and it says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. And he says, point out anything in me that offends you, God, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Go in prayer this week and ask God, is there anything that's offending you in my life? Because I want to shine bright again. Guys, God is too good for us to allow the desires of the world and the sins of the world to eclipse us. Do not be eclipsed. Everybody say, lights on. Lights on. Leo Tolstoy, he said, everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. No one thinks of changing himself. Another question I have for you. Raise your hand if you've been in the reading a Bible in a year type of thing here at Harvest. Amen. Can we praise the Lord for all those people? Amen. All right, I got a question for you. If you've been reading the Bible lately, I'm going to ask you a question. I want to ask you, when was light first introduced? When was the power of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the Heavenly Father introduced through the form of light? Anybody know? Oh, so easy. We got some people over here reading their Bible. It was Genesis chapter 1. It said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be, and there was light. First page, first chapter, third verse. Light is introduced. And when Jesus is speaking here on the Sermon on the Mount, he's pretty much pointing back to the goodness that he had at the beginning of time. You know, I'm so passionate about Genesis because there's so much that is in there that prepares the way for Jesus. So if you think about it, if it's verse 3, that means that light was introduced before what? It was introduced before the animals, before the vegetables, before humans. Before molding the earth, God said, let there be light. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking, maybe, could it be that light is the prerequisite of everything that's created good? Could it be that light is the very first ingredient that brings life to this world, that brings life into your family, into your schools, into your jobs, into your careers? In essence, during creation and the entire Word of God, light is one of the most powerful characteristics of God. He could have started out with anything else in creation, but he said, let there be light. Guys, when I say I am the light of the world and I have you, repeat after me. I'm simply saying that light is important as our identity as Christ followers, because we will not shine if we are not reflecting his light. One of my favorite company success stories is Chick-fil-A. If you didn't know Chick-fil-A, 9 years in a row, man, they number one in the fast food industry. And just a reminder, today's Sunday, they ain't open today. If you want to go eat, you might want to have some food after this. So when I walk into different food restaurants, this happens a lot. I walk in, fast food, and the people at the counter just kind of look down, or they're doing other things. But I remember clearly the first time I stepped into a Chick-fil-A. Right when I walked into the door, I heard about this place, I'm gonna try it out. Walk into the door and they just lock eyes with you and they watch you and they got a smile on their face, right? And when you get greeted, it's great eye contact. The place could be busy, but they ain't in a rush. They focused on serving you. And I remember I ordered my food. I was like, could I get some honey mustard with that Chick-fil-A sandwich and fries? And I was like, oh, what's that Chick-fil-A sauce? And you know what they said? They said, you could have both. And I was like, ooh, okay. And then I said, thank you so much. And they said, my pleasure. It was amazing. One more story about Chick-fil-A. I remember I was so thirsty this one time. I was working at a gas station. I was cleaning cars all day, so sweaty. It was 95 degrees. I didn't have a lot of money, so I just wanted to go to Chick-fil-A just to get that fresh squeezed lemonade, right? Man, they better sponsor us after this one. And I walk in there. I kid you not, this was a time when we were pretty broke, okay? I literally am like buying this drink with coins, okay? And nobody even carries coins anymore. I just found it in my car. So I walk up in there. I'm sweaty. I'm drenched. And I'm like, hey, man, could I get a fresh squeezed lemonade? And he's like, yeah, sure. So he doesn't even push any buttons on the register. He walks to the back. He fills it up. He comes back and he goes, it's on the house. And I said, what? I said, thank you so much. And as he was walking away, he turned back and he's like, my pleasure. In the Bible, it says in Daniel, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens. And those who lead many to righteousness, the stars forever and ever. Guys, can we be a people of God who one day get to a place where people are dumbfounded, just like I was, by the way we shine on others, by our generosity, by our kindness, by our love? Can we get to the place where we don't love because of expectation, we love freely. And it's not transactional. Where we truly believe that in our hearts, it's just a reflection of Jesus. And we just say, my pleasure. Lights on. Stop driving in the dark. Connect to your Heavenly Father and allow the Spirit to move in you and spread the love of Jesus wherever you go. Again, in verse 15, it says, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. And focus on this next part. Jesus is so, so simple. He says, instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. Jesus says, be a light, first and foremost, to everyone in the house. Quick note, Jesus is saying that the house is the people of God. But I think he's also literally saying your house, your actual home. Guys, some of us treat strangers better than our own family. And as people of God, how hypocritical is this? God is calling us to be light. And he's saying, give light to the people that you actually live with. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard. But this is a direct command and a direct description of what it means to be a light. There's this fascinating study that ABC News released that I heard about in a sermon. And there's this study that was about people that were walking around in the desert. The first group of people they studied, they let them loose in the desert. And it was during the day. And what they said was just walk straight. Everybody who walked during the day in the desert, they all walked straight. Then there was a next group of people. They told them to walk now at night. And they said, okay, you guys walk at night with the moon shining and just walk straight. And what did they do? Everybody who had the moon also, they walked just as straight as those who had the sun. And then there was another group of people. And they waited until it was nighttime. And they waited for a day that was cloudy that covered the moon. So pretty much in the desert, moon covered by clouds, it's dark, pitch black. And they said, okay, you guys walk straight. And what did they find? They found that every single person who walked in that pitch dark walked in circles. Every single one of them. Whether they started out straight and started veering to the left, they walked in a circle. Whether you went to the right, they walked in a circle. It came so much that there were some people that actually ended up walking in a circle every single 10 minutes. They thought they were walking straight, but because they had no light shining, that was far from the truth. Guys, this is what it looks like when we don't have the light of God in our lives and the light of God where we go. This is what it will look like. This is what it will look like if people don't share the love of Christ. Don't be kind in the name of Jesus. The history of pain, destruction, wars, it will just continue to repeat itself. It will go in circles. Guys, when we face eternity, we will be accountable to if we kept our light under a basket or if we put it on a lampstand. And at the judgment, God will not ask us about our leaders, our pastors, our church, but he will ask you about your faith, about your light. So I encourage you guys today, do not rely on the light of others, but go to God. God calls us to shine light in our households, in our church, in our communities, so that the world doesn't keep walking in circles. I used to lead a multi-church variety show annually, actually a couple times a year, where people come out from all over the suburbs and people would sign up for these variety shows. And we would host them at different churches. And I remember somebody pulled me aside, like after like we saw some stand-up comedy, some instruments playing, some dancing, and they pulled me aside and they were like, Pastor, why are you teaching these kids how to show off? And I simply looked at him, I said, man, that's not what it is. I'm simply training them to shine. Guys, we have to be willing to step out in front of people. We have to be willing to go to the places that where maybe it's hard, or maybe you're nervous or fearful. and turn our lights on. Grow in your light. Be bold with your light. Guys, what does light do? Light exposes the things that need to come to light. Light gives energy, like in photosynthesis with plants. It literally gives life. Light gives guidance. When they were walking in the desert, just having one thing in the sky, even just the moon, they walk straight. Guys, this is what we are called to do in this world. Tony Evans once said, "You can't blame things for being dark if the light bulbs aren't working." So we're complaining about the darkness when the bulbs aren't working. The Bible says that we are the light of the world. Everybody say, lights on. Some of you might say, I'm not gifted. I'm going to say, yes, you are. And it's not so much about ability, but rather about availability. As disciples of Christ, we must be the ones to go into the dark places. Because shining is not a way for us to get a deeper relationship with Christ, but simply knowing Christ is what brings us into a life of shining. How are you in Christ today? How is your relationship with Him? How is your personal relationship with Him going right now? I have a very real application that you can share with your family, your friends, or anyone. And I'm going to challenge our church and those in this room to do it in the next 2 days. How long? 2 days. All right, 2 days. You got that? We're accountable. I want you to do one thing for Christ in the next 2 days. And I want you to get creative. Outside of the people that you tell today, don't tell anybody else. All right? Here's some things we could do. We can buy someone's groceries and just say, God bless. We could help somebody, help a neighbor. We could call someone that you haven't talked to a while and just encourage them. You could literally just say, text somebody and be like, hey, I'm thinking about you. Hope you're doing well. You could tell your parents that you love them. And I'm talking to both the young and the old. You could call your older parents too. Maybe you could do something nice for them even. Maybe you could volunteer somewhere this week. Do something. I'm just saying, get creative. And shine your light in the next 2 days. Lights on. As I was preparing for this message, I was asking God that we wouldn't leave this place the same, but literally leave this building, this physical place, transformed and renewed when it comes to shining for Jesus. In one of my spoken words, I said this. I said, so I'll renew my mind. This life is no longer mine. The tomb was empty, redemptive plan, like free gold from a mine. Let me remind that you can't rewind. So as we move forward in time, I'm going to go ahead and let this little light shine. Church, the closer we are to God, the bigger our light becomes. In closing, earlier, we were on the first page of the Bible. I did the same thing with my fasting sermon. We're on the first page of the Bible. And now let's go to the last page. I love to do Genesis and Revelation. I've done this so many times, but let's go to the last part of the Bible. I start with verse 3 in the first chapter on the first page of the Bible. Now let's go to the last chapter on the last page of the Bible, starting with verse 5. And it says this. It said, and there will be no night there. No need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. The prophetic book of Revelation here is saying this after the earth is renewed. This is after the reign of Jesus has taken its course. This is after God's plan has been come to fruition, where redemption is now here. No more sin, no more suffering. And what does it say? The light of God will shine. There will be no more night because the light is truly from God. Jesus is referred to the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And when I say I am the light of the world, we are simply saying Jesus is at the front, the back, and the center. In a moment, we're going to close in a song called Oh Praise the Name. And right before this passage, right before this verse, or around this verse, it talks about how we as Christ followers will have robes of white. But we will have robes of white simply because Jesus has robes of white. And when we sing that part of the song, my hope is that we would realize that this gift of light cannot be earned. It can only be given. We are meant to shine here and for the rest of eternity, even the last page of the Bible, because Jesus is the light that we have. So as I read verse 16 again, you could put the main passage up again. I hope that now it would give more meaning. That Jesus, that in the beginning, Jesus, the Heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit, pours out the light. And then Jesus comes as the light of the world. And then at the end of time, we see again that light will overcome all darkness. Verse 16, it says, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. When we shine for Christ, we are simply doing a prophetic declaration that there will be a day when light will always be around. So if you're a Christ follower, repeat after me once again and say, I am the light of the world. Amen. Lights on, and let's pray. God, thank you so much. So much, Lord. That there is so much power in the characteristic that you have as light. And God, for some of us in this room, we have your light, but man, we've been putting it under a basket. We've been hiding it. We've been eclipsing it with sin that we don't want to share or confront. We've been putting the light under a basket, under forgiveness, under bitterness, under anger. Lord, I pray that today we would simply just confess that you would shine light on the places where we have tried to hide it and put it underneath the basket. Lord, I pray today we would be bold. I pray that we would repent. And I pray that we would go to you, God, not fearful, but knowing that you are God that welcomes us with open arms, Lord. I pray that we would have more fear of being away from you, Lord, than being fearful of you, Lord. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for this word that you have given us in Matthew. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's continue to close our eyes, and I just want to give you some time to reflect on what it means to be light, on what it means to be a child of God, what it means to be loved by God. And let's go to him now. Ask for God to be creative on the next 2 days. What can we do so that this world doesn't keep walking in circles? Let's pray.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.